I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
All right, let's go around the league. There's been some moves in the AFC South. Deshaun got paid. Jadeveon Clowney's in Tennessee. We're going to talk about those a lot leading up to the season here on the world's biggest pregame show. But there's another move that was made that is kind of under the radar, and it could be just as significant because we can talk about kickers, and a lot of people roll their eyes when you talk about kickers. Don't talk about a kicker with John Harris. John Harris is just going to put his chest out there and go all meathead on you and roll his eyes at kickers, as are many people. But kickers are important, very important. They can cost you games. They can cost you playoff appearances. And the Indianapolis Colts know that very well. Adam Vinatieri, you can make a case, cost them three games last season. Three. With all the bad luck they had, if they would have just had a solid kicker, Colts would have won maybe three more games. And they've made a decision on a kicker. They waived Chase McLaughlin, and they are going with Rodrigo,
baby.
Blankenship. Now, a lot of you will say, who the hell is Rodrigo Blankenship?
You know who he is.
Who?
You might not know his name, but I can promise you know who he is. Rodrigo Blankenship, if you watch college football, is the former Georgia kicker with the big black glasses. Big mathlete that you would see out there when Georgia would be looking for game-winning field goals or big field goals on SEC games, middle of the day on Saturday on CBS. That nerdy guy with the big-ass Lucas-like glasses.
Yeah.
That's him. He's going to be the kicker for the Colts.
He probably should have been drafted. Was named the best kicker in college football. I mean, he won, he won the Groza Award, which goes to the number one kicker. And an icon in Georgia, largely because of the glasses. It certainly adds to the, you know, the allure, if you will. But the guy is really, really good. And as a rookie, undrafted, coming in to win that job was pretty significant. It really was.
It'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But we will see. Rodrigo Blankenship, also known more appropriately as the guy with the big-ass black glasses.
Yeah.
Going around the NFL here on the world's biggest pregame show, Sports Radio 610, Landry Locker, John Lopez, Ryan Fitzpatrick, familiar name, starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins week one. He will go against Cam Newton. Fitzpatrick versus Newton. Are we going to get a hype video like Mahomes and Watson for Fitzpatrick versus Cam Newton?
I don't know about that. How many weeks is until Tua takes over?
I think Fitzpatrick's going to do a good job holding it down.
But the thing about Ryan Fitzpatrick,
I think he's going to do a good job holding it down. I think they're going to be like in the playoff. Did you see what Peter King said about the Dolphins, by the way?
That they were going to make the playoffs.
What did he say about the Texans?
They were not going to make the playoffs. Interesting. Let's dig in.
Playoffs?
Yeah, let's dig into that tomorrow. The thing about Fitzpatrick, as he was in Tampa, where he had like three straight MVP-type games, then done. He's up and down. He'll have a long streak of bad performances. So I'm going to say 6 weeks. 6 weeks into it takes over.
I'm going to say he goes all year.
Wow.
I'm going to say he goes all year. Fitzmagic. Fitzmagic. Or at least 10 weeks. I'll go at least 10 weeks.
6 weeks.
I'm going 10. Former Falcons running back Devontae Freeman. He met with the Jacksonville Jaguars, but no deal was agreed to. So he is still a free agent. Jacksonville looking to replace Leonard Fournette. Devontae Freeman, not the guy, at least not right now. Bills, they gave Tre'Davious White a 4-year, $70 million extension, $55 million guaranteed.
Man.
So one of the best, most underrated cornerbacks in the NFL gets paid in Buffalo. Steelers, they rewarded their defensive tackle, Cam Hayward. He gets an extension, 4 years, $65.6 million. In all, he has a 5-year deal worth $75. That's how much they got remaining there. So everybody's just getting paid, including Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen got a nice contract with the Chargers. Nice extension. Makes him one of the 5 highest paid receivers in the NFL. Still no deal for DeAndre Hopkins. What do you make of that?
I think he'll get done. I think he'll probably get done this week. I wouldn't worry. I know Hop is going to. That was kind of one of the wink-wink kind of gentleman's agreements to it. We'll see how he ends up, what the number ends up being. But, man, some of these numbers, like 55 guaranteed for Tre'Davious White, that's a huge number, man.
It's a good deal for them. Colts, 2,500 fans, they're going to have week 2 for their home opener against the Minnesota Vikings.
I mean, I don't know. You and I disagree on this. I think it's going to look awful with having fans.
Well, you got a little taste of it, college football this week.
Yeah, and it didn't look great. It didn't look great
at all.
Well,
for some of those schools, I think it was pretty accurate. I think that's why, because I'm used to watching Marshall and some of these other schools that were on the TV this weekend and the stands not being full. But whenever it's an environment like when I watch Texas A&M, they play this week, right?
No, it's the 26th is when the SEC starts.
Yeah, SEC. Yeah. But like when I see these other schools play this week, that's when it's going to be weird. Horns at 7 on Saturday, by the way. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
That can be a nice one. Shout out to UTEP. Mm-hmm. NFL, they reinstated Randy Gregory, so the Cowboys get a little more pass rushing help. They added Everson Griffin. They added Alden Smith. Lost Gerald McCoy. Added Dontari Poe. They're going to get Randy Gregory back. He likes that Marahucci. They've kind of decriminalized that, not just in the world, but the NFL has caught up, and they've decriminalized it.
I hate it, bro.
So Randy Gregory will be on the field. Adrian Peterson found a new team.
And that team is Detroit.
He's going to the D. It is cold in the D. Mm-hmm. AD going to the D.
And it became official like 5 minutes ago. They've released a player, so he's officially a Detroit Lion now.
Shout out to Adrian Peterson. Sucks that you got to play for Matt Patricia, that SOB. He almost ran over me with that four-wheeler last year. Think he did it on purpose, but it's okay. You'll get through it. The Bears have named a starting quarterback.
Please don't say Mitchell Trubisky.
Mitchell Trubisky is the starting quarterback. They brought in Nick Foles in the offseason from Jacksonville, but they're going to go with Mitchell Trubisky. He will be the starting quarterback for the Bears.
I mean, look, I'm not covering the Bears every day. I don't see the development. But from the outside looking in, they are just, you know, it's like I'll be damned if I'm going to be wrong on this. So they're just sticking with Trubisky. I bet you it's going to be a funny coincidence. As soon as that rookie deal runs out, he's not going to be nearly as good as they think he is now.
Lamar Miller.
Mm-hmm. I remember him.
Tore his ACL a little over a year ago last year. Was supposed to be the starting running back for the Texans. Missed all of last season. Got signed by the Patriots a couple weeks ago. They released him. And today he is visiting with the Buffalo Bills. So Lamar Miller still looking for a team. Should be noted.
That's a tell.
Brian Gaine is in Buffalo. He's not the one who gave Lamar Miller the original contract, but he was in Houston when Lamar Miller was there. So Lamar Miller could end up in Buffalo, but the Patriots said no thanks. They're cutting everybody, though.
They are cutting everybody, but that's a tell when Lamar Miller can't latch on with a team that definitely needs some help there. I know the Patriots have some running backs, but he's a veteran guy that could help a lot of teams, and the Patriots said no thank you.
We talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick starting for the Dolphins. They also released Josh Rosen over the weekend. Josh Rosen, though, probably the ideal situation for a first-round pick that can't find a team. He's going to go to Tampa Bay and learn from Tom Brady. Probably could have used this from the very beginning. Kind of got thrown to the wolves in Arizona, then went to Miami. Josh Rosen gets to follow around Tom Brady. It's a good education you can get there. Leonard Fournette's going to get it. He's probably going to get a little more playing time, or is definitely going to get a little more playing time. Josh Rosen just needs to follow Tom Brady around. He needs to have a notepad. He needs to write down everything that Tom Brady does, every single thing that Tom Brady does, how he puts his pants on, what he eats, how he practices, when he goes to practice, what he does during practice, what he says during practice. Every single thing that Tom Brady does, Josh Rosen needs to follow him around and take notes.
It's kind of a sad story with Josh Rosen, because in terms of his ability to throw the ball, his arm strength, etc., he's got everything. I mean, he's got every ingredient you could want in a quarterback, but just hasn't really mentally been there, hasn't maybe been in the right situation. I mean, good for him going with Tampa Bay, and hopefully something will turn around.
Kyler Murray, starting quarterback for the Arizona Cardinals. Most people know his nickname. It's Kyler Cole Murray. For some reason, Kyler takes pride in the middle name. Running back Chase Edmonds of the Arizona Cardinals. He was one of the two running backs on that roster who had more yards per carry than David Johnson. Kenyon Drake, the other one. But Chase Edmonds is kind of the home run guy, third down, scat back, fast as hell.
Yeah.
Here's a little mic'd up sound from Cardinals practice of Chase Edmonds trying to guess Kyler Murray's middle name.
What's your middle name? Starts with a C. It's real smooth. It rolls off the tongue.
Rolls off the tongue?
Like when you say it, you would know it's right.
Kyler Cali Murray.
Kyler Cam Murray.
No. Bro, none of those roll off the tongue.
You said one syllable. Kyler Can Murray.
Can? What the hell is a can? My middle name starts with a C. It's not long.
One syllable.
One syllable.
Kyler Chan Murray.
Bro, get the get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. It's four letters, bro.
Kyler Murray.
Thank you, dog. Oh my God, bro. And that took way too long.
It did. It shouldn't be that hard. Plus, he uses it. Announcers have said.
What does Chase Edmonds do? He strikes me as like one of those video game guys, one of those video game kids.
Hey, what's your middle name?
What's your middle name?
You know my middle name.
P.
Everybody says P.
I know it.
You do know it, Figgy?
P.
Patrick.
Nope.
Felipe.
It's not Patrick.
Uh-uh.
Felipe.
Uh-uh.
Paul.
Close. Felipe's with an F.
Paul.
No. You really don't know?
No.
Philip.
Philip, okay.
Yeah. I always go by Pulitzer, though.
What's your middle name, Figgy?
Boyce, B-O-Y-C-E.
Oh, it's a family name?
Yeah.
I like that.
Boyce.
I like that. Yours is Landry.
Michael.
Michael?
Michael.
LML.
What's so funny about that, Figgy?
LML.
That's the whitest name I've ever heard in my life.
Landry Michael Locker. It is, Figgy. It is. You're right.
I'm supposed to be ashamed of that?
No. We're just making an observation.
It's you, man. It fits you.
Around the NFL here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 6.
Philip with one L, by the way.
Did you see what Clowney was eating when Sean Payton came and visited him this weekend?
Well, I saw the chef.
The chef tweeted it out.
Yeah.
Did you see what they ate?
I'm trying to remember. I did, and I can't remember what it was.
Cajun.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right.
They ate Cajun.
Boy, that whole deal was really bizarre. And by the way, I said the week it had, I mean, months ago, let's wait on how much he gets because it's going to be a big number.
It's 12 to 15 is the total. Yeah,
15 if he hits his incentives. They played that out right. The Titans were in it the whole time. I predicted the Titans. How'd my Friday future trippings go, by the way? I'm on about a month, 3 week or a month roll here.
You're on fire.
That was in Fuego. I picked that. Picked Ian Rapoport with the Deshaun news.
Could have done that.
Well, you didn't. but no, they played that out right because the New Orleans Saints, no way you can trade for money.
Here is Ian Rapoport talking about specifically what J-Lo's talking about. The blitz for Clowney got intense. This is what the Saints were trying to do the last second to get Clowney in New Orleans instead of Tennessee.
This came down to the Saints versus the Titans. The Titans end up getting him. He goes back with Mike Vrabel. But listen to what the Saints were trying to do to create cap space. They were attempting an unprecedented sign and trade where one team, presumably the Cleveland Browns, would sign Clowney, give him a signing bonus, pay some of that signing bonus, obviously, and then trade Clowney to the Saints in exchange for a second-round draft pick and a player. The league wouldn't allow it. You can't basically trade cash. But the Saints were going to an incredible length to try to land Jadeveon Clowney and create space for him.
That's crazy.
It's, you know, he said
it's
unprecedented.
Pretty smart attempt. No,
I applaud the effort, but you can't do that because then every team would be going, hey, now, I didn't know you could trade money. And some teams would just take the money, you know, and there would be a bigger imbalance.
They trade money in the NBA, though.
They do. They absolutely do. But in the NFL, with the salary cap the way it is, it would be really difficult for teams to be competitive if they're just trading for money.
Clowney going to the Tennessee Titans. Let's take a look at that. Clowney to Tennessee. We've been wondering where he was going to end up. JD is in Tennessee. Are you scared? Discuss next.
You're inside the world's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans Chiefs coverage. Here's In the Loop with Landry and Lopez.
What the hell is wrong with Deshaun Watson? 78 hours away from kickoff, and this dude's wearing a sweater right now?
I was telling you about the hoodie, and you said it was no problem last week.
Man, the hoodie's one thing. The team licensed hoodie. But Figgy said he's wearing a sweater.
No, he is. He's wearing a bright yellow sweater. Yeah, it is. Doesn't matter though.
I will wear that.
Bro, it's 90 degrees.
It's hot though.
I don't like this.
He's looking like money right now.
I don't like this new Deshaun.
I do.
You sign a big contract and now all of a sudden you're rocking thick ass sweaters in 90 degree temperature and it ain't
That's
a hoodie.
That sauce.
It ain't a team licensed all right, hoodie. All right. I'm worried about Deshaun.
Hold on. Hold everything.
Deshaun Beeman.
Figgy Fig, we had a little company meeting last week. And he was the absolute hit of the company meeting. I think you were out of town doing some stuff that day, but Figgy, you were explaining the difference between juice and sauce.
Oh my God.
And you captivated the entire company with your explanation of
Who
juice.
Who asked this question, by the way?
And sauce. Well, it was actually part of our.
I brung it up.
Yeah, he just brought it up. They went to Figgy.
I said the Texans got that sauce.
And so the difference, do you know? Because Figgy nailed it. People were just all over it. We have to take a pause here because this is important because a lot of listeners that don't know the difference between juice and sauce. Do you know the difference between juice and sauce?
Yeah, juice is just like, it's basically like energy like kick. It's not necessarily a good thing. Like you can have, Soulja Boy had juice at times and it's not necessarily a good thing. It means you're geeked up. It means you're wired up. But it's not necessarily a good thing. Sauce is like you actually know and you feel good about yourself and everybody else should know and you have actual confidence.
Well, you just said that that sweater, and by the way, I'm looking at a picture of it. You're right, Figgy. It is, now that I know the difference, I thought they were very similar, it is saucy. So what is the difference for our listeners between juice and sauce?
Juice is temporary. You know, anyone can obtain the juice or something. I mean, you could say that just because you got a nice car, so I'm like, oh man, you got the juice. You know, it's something that kind of comes and goes. Sauce is forever. You buy you a Simply Lemonade. How long is that gonna last in your fridge? A couple days, maybe. Yeah. That's a juice. How long does barbecue sauce last in your fridge? A while. That's the sauce, man. Sticks around. Sticks. Hard to move.
That's so awesome. And that was a guy from Best Buy?
He was a Best Buy worker.
And somebody asked him about the same question.
Yeah.
Question. That's a pretty big response right there.
That's badass, Figgy.
Got to give him credit.
Figgy stole the show, man.
He did. Jadeveon Clowney, he stole the show this weekend, really yesterday morning, Sunday morning, signed with the Tennessee Titans. The missing piece is what they're calling him. That's what their website's calling him. Good Morning Football had a discussion about what exactly this means for the Texans and the AFC South and the rest of the NFL as a whole. We know the Texans face the Chiefs very, very shortly, about 78 hours, less than 78 hours now from kickoff. It is the world's biggest pregame show here on In the Loop. But they also got to face the Titans two times. And Good Morning Football Peter actually thinks that the Titans are now the biggest threat to the Texans' opponent on Thursday when it comes to the 2020 season.
I think the Clowney thing matters. Let me just say a quick second. I still have high hopes for Denver to shock some people. I think they're set up defensively really well against Kansas City. It's just going to depend if Drew Lock is legit. There's a lot of questions on offense. I like their defense. However, as it pertains to Clowney, I think this is really big. Clowney sits around and maybe doesn't get the long contract, or maybe doesn't get the big respect because he doesn't have the massive sack numbers. And the fact is, he's a splash player. He comes and goes. He'll have a great series, and then you won't see him for two quarters. But this is why this matters. Let's think of the most memorable play of the Chiefs playoff run. Last season, AFC title game against the Titans, these exact Titans we're talking about. Mahomes is going to do the Mahomes thing and step up and wait a second. Hold on, now I'm going to turn it up the field. Oh. Let me tell you something. If Jadeveon Clowney is on the field for this play, this ain't a touchdown. Because Jadeveon Clowney is swooping off the top rope and powerbombing him into the turf from behind and maybe strip sacking him. Like, they were missing Clowney on this play. Because Clowney's the guy who could come from 60 yards away and still make the tackle inside the 10, like Jimmy Superfly Snuka. Like, if the Titans have Clowney here, this is not a touchdown. Who knows? Maybe the Chiefs don't win a game. So I think Clowney is so big for like 3 or 4 plays a game even. He's a difference maker, a massive one. So I'm going to say a very tentative yes. I don't see a big weakness on the Titans. If you trust Tannehill, the line is great. The running backs, we know all about that stuff. And now they got a maniac and the pass rusher. I think I would have to rank them as the best suited team to take them down.
Okay. This is the thing, and it always comes down to this when you talk about the Texans, you talk about the Titans, you talk about the Colts, is people keep saying, well, I don't trust Tannehill. You know, I don't think Tannehill's going to have the best QBR for the second straight year. How much do you really have to trust Tannehill? I'm not saying that Tannehill's not going to have to make plays at times because the quarterback's going to have to make plays. But how much is Tannehill really being asked to do? Like, we know that Deshaun's the best quarterback in this division, but I also think that there's also a case to be made that Deshaun has to do more than any of the other quarterbacks in the division based on how the offense is going to attack. The Colts want to run the damn ball. That's why they wear the hats that say run the damn ball. That's why they used a second-round pick on Jonathan Taylor. So Phillip Rivers, yes, he couldn't carry the Chargers last year. He could not do that himself. He's not going to have to do that. Right. Ryan Tannehill, they're not going to spread the ball out and say, Ryan Tannehill, throw the ball 40 times and take us to the promised land. They're going to try to run the rock. He's got some weapons that he's played with before that are familiar weapons. It's not like they're asking Ryan Tannehill to do as much as Deshaun Watson. If they were, obviously, you wouldn't be high on Tennessee. But they've got a good defense. They added Jadeveon Clowney. They added Vic Beasley. Mm-hmm. Their offense returns 10 of 11 guys, including A.J. Brown, who had over 1,000 yards in his rookie season. We think he's going to be a very good player. Tight end Jonnu Smith's got the arrow pointing up. Nobody's asking Ryan Tannehill to sit there and be Deshaun Watson. That's not the case when it comes to evaluating the Tennessee Titans. Of course, the Texans got the quarterback advantage. The question is, how much is the quarterback in Tennessee really going to have to do?
No, you hit it. You hit it on the head. The Texans, the reason they're going to be good if they're good is Deshaun Watson. The reason the Titans are going to be good if they're good is not Ryan Tannehill. I mean, it's as simple as that. Ryan Tannehill is going to have some weapons. He's going to be counted on to make some plays, but he's not going to be counted on to be everything. And I actually agree, you know, that, you know, what Jadeveon Clowney is bringing their defense is exactly what they need. They're already a good defense. I think they were ranked 10 or 12 in the league last year in total defense. And in a running league, like, you know, even the Texans are going to try to run the ball, but in a running league and a running division, you got Jadeveon Clowney, who's one of his best strengths, his tackles for loss and against the run. That's going to be huge for them. Huge.
It's a guy who can win you an extra game like that. That's he just said it. Like, yes, there's a lot of times where you'll be like, where the hell is Jadeveon Clowney? Where the hell is he? Mm-hmm. But there's going to be 1 week. There's going to be another week where you look at it and you say, damn, that's a guy who can win you the game. And with all the questions about Clowney, when you talk about intangibles and stuff, The Titans are the situation that minimizes his questionable intangibles more than any other situation. He played his ass off for an entire season, the best season of his career during a 4-12 year with Mike Vrabel. If he was ever going to quit and if he was ever going to disappear, that would have been the time. He didn't do it. He played from start to finish while J.J. Watt was hurt, while Whitney Merciless was hurt, J.D. Clowney busted his ass for Mike Vrabel the 1 year he was defensive coordinator and he was a linebacker coach. And he played his butt off. Now he goes to Tennessee, and you just got to think that all the concerns you have, they still might be there, but the chance of them happening in the situation in Tennessee are much lower than his negative intangibles and the stuff that you might think negative about him appearing in any other place. I think this is the ideal situation for Jadeveon Clowney. And I think if anything, he's going to be fired up the two times that he faces the Texans. This, you can't minimize this move. There's a reason the Saints were willing to trade a second round pick for Clowney.
Right.
You can talk about value. They were willing to trade a second round pick and try to do something unprecedented to bring in Clowney.
You're as important as the market says you are. The Saints tried to go jump, not just trade a second round pick, but jump through hoops to get him and trade a second round pick. And $15 million. I mean, he got a 1 year, $15 million contract from the Titans. The market says this guy can be an absolute game changer. And by the way, that $15 million is a 1 year deal. That's an incentive as well.
Yeah, and they can't franchise tag him. So it's going to be very interesting. By the way, Justin Reed's going to join Clint Sterner and Ron at 2 p.m. So keep it locked. The world's biggest pregame show just keeps getting bigger and bigger. Let's hear from the head coach. Bill O'Brien, not a fan of Jadeveon Clowney. He has a big game in less than 78 hours. We'll hear from the coach of the Houston Texans when In the Loop continues next.
Live from Twin Peaks Studios, it's the kickoff countdown. We're less than 78 hours from the Texans taking on the defending Super Bowl champs. Listen to the Texans opener right here on Sports Radio 610.
All right, we're very close to kickoff. Coming up in about 15 minutes, one of my best ideas ever. It's one of the best ideas that I've had. You can do it. All you need is about an hour before kickoff, about $20, and an appreciation of greatness in order to enjoy kickoff. I'll give that to you in 15 minutes. Trust me. You're going to like this idea, Figgy. I guarantee you. But before I give you that awesome idea, let's go out to NRG Live. Let's hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, Bill O'Brien. Less than 78 hours away from kickoff on the world's biggest pregame show.
Draft picks moving forward, just in terms of how important kind of funding value is with the draft, but once you have a more expensive player at that position.
You know, that's an interesting question. I mean, we will always look at each situation, unto itself, but also take into account that, draft capital and the draft is obviously a very important part of the team building process. So we'll look at both. I mean, I wouldn't be able to sit here and tell you like, because of these combination of contracts, we're just going to go with the draft now or vice versa. I would say that that's a constant conversation between Jack and myself and Kevin and Matt Bazergan about, where we're headed next. But, obviously the draft's important to a team building process and we understand that.
Greg.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, Bill. One of the things we think we've seen in training camp is the versatility on the back end of your defense. How much does that help you when guys can kind of evolve past what used to be the old school traditional roles of, oh, he's a safety and he does this? How much does this help you when you face an offense like Kansas City, maybe particularly if they want to go hurry up and keep your defense out on the field?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question. I mean, we try, when we think about our secondary, it's rare that we have guys that can only do one thing, which, if they're excellent at one thing, like say they're an absolutely fantastic outside corner, then, obviously that's what they do really well. That's what we see and that's what we go with. But most of the time we want guys that can do different things, right? You've got a guy like Eric Murray. Eric Murray in his career has played safety. He's played nickel. He's played corner. He's been the fullback, the personal protector on the punt team. I mean, he's been on a kickoff. He's done it all. And so when you have a guy that's versatile and can do different things and he's lined up in different places and he's really smart, which it requires a level of intelligence to be able to do those things. We have other guys to do that. That really helps you, right? Where guys can, you can plug and play. Hey, I know this role. I also know this role. and I can be this in different packages. So I think that's part of what we try to do in the secondary every year, and that's part of what we're doing this year.
Berman?
Bill, I know you like to have a routine set for the year. Does that make it tougher that the first game is on a Thursday, which is a little bit different from what you would normally have for a routine or schedule that you have going into the season?
I kind of like it because I think it's better than if the Thursday night game, like say you started your routine for, you know, 8 straight weeks and then week 9 was the Thursday night game. That kind of upsets the routine that you've been in. You know, right now, you know, most of our games are at noon except for really this game and I think one other game that's on Thanksgiving. But, you know, so I think that the fact that this game is the first game, I think the you know, the difficulty for both teams is obviously, you know, the Thursday night, setting the roster, all those things. You know, we're both working at that. And, you know, that's something that's just a different type of process when your game's on Thursday relative to Sunday. But other than that, I do think that the Thursday night as an opener is good because then you can start your routine, your normal routine the following week.
How much has the expanded practice squad helped you or is helping you?
Oh, yeah, I think that's been very helpful. You know, I know that there's some coaches that, you know, haven't been an advocate of this, but I'm an advocate of giving guys more opportunities. You know, I'm an advocate of developing players. And so I think I've always said if we could have a few more players on the practice squad, that would really help. Now, this year it's been really good because you can have veteran practice squad players, which is really good. And, you know, you can make a decision on Tuesday who you want to protect for the week so they can't get poached. And so I think the league's done a great job with the roster rules and the flexibility of the roster relative to COVID. But I hope it kind of stays that way the rest of the time because I think it's a good chance to develop players and give players a shot.
John?
Bill, how is it going to be different for you not calling the plays once the game starts? And do you think you're going to miss not calling?
I'll be involved. I mean, I think that and John, I understand the question and, you know, I think that's type of stuff, you know, I don't see that as that big of a deal. I mean, I'm still involved
What do you mean involved?
You know, I'm not going to sit there like a church mouse, you know, during a game. So I'll be involved in, you know, in all three phases relative to what's being called. So I don't really see that as, you know, a huge deal.
What does involved mean? All right, we're listening to Bill O'Brien live at NRG.
Soren, go ahead.
Coach, earlier, one of the things that's I think we've been leading up to is what kind of demonstrations there are going to be from the players regarding the movements that they've been involved in. You've made a lot of news when you made the statement earlier that you would kneel with your players. Have you followed up with that? Is that your intention? And do you expect that to be happening on Thursday night at Arrowhead?
We've had a lot of discussions as a team, as I know the Chiefs had too. I know that I believe that players from both teams have spoken to each other about, you know, what may or may not take place on Thursday night. I think you have two really good teams with, you know, obviously Andy, great football coach, and their team, a lot of great veterans. We have a lot of great veterans on our team. You know, when I was asked earlier in the spring, I was asked if my players asked me to take a knee, would I take a knee in support of them? And I said I would. We haven't really gone down that road, but I've been very, very vocal as to my support of Black Lives Matter, of our players and their social justice platforms. I think that what's going on in this country right now has to be fixed. And it's been, you know, hundreds of years, but I feel like this is a time where things can really change. But relative to taking a knee or not taking a knee, not sure really that's what it's all about. I think that both teams will come to an agreement here probably over the next couple of days as to what will take place, and we'll go from there.
You're listening to Bill O'Brien live at NRG here on Sports Radio 610.
And just, I guess, a follow-up to what Mr. Saran had asked. When it comes to taking a knee, is it something that, I guess, it shouldn't really be planned, but just something that just happens instead of, you know, making it seem like it's some sort of agreement? But then also something separate from that, with the ramp-up period, do you feel that coming in the next season, that with no preseason games, depending on how the season plays out, that you could see a scenario where come next year that there are, again, no preseason games, or would it just be a scenario where we are at a country with this COVID?
What?
Two great questions. Okay, so I think, you know, relative to taking a knee or whatever it is, whether it's taking a knee or, you know, like in 2017, some teams locked arms to show their support or whatever it might be. I do believe, this is just my personal opinion relative to the team, you want to be together as a team on that. But at the same time, some of those things are very personal decisions, you know. And so I think that again, we've had discussions about that as a team. I know the Chiefs had, you know, again, we want to really, both teams are going to obviously focus really on the game and at hand, but I'm sure that something very respectful, if anything's going to be done, you know, will be done. This is a great league with a bunch of great players and coaches that do things the right way. So I'm sure of that. I think that I hope, you know, as we move forward and, you know, we get through this COVID and you know, there is a vaccine eventually and all those things. I would hope that some of the preseason games come back. You know, I think that the preseason is important, you know, for rookies, for undrafted guys, for veterans, for everybody, for coaches. I just think the preseason games, you know, whether it's four or three or two, I'm not here to debate that, but I do think that preseason games are important. And I also hope that spring, you know, the spring comes back, the off-season program. That's a 9-week off-season program where you can really work with your team. But, you know, that wasn't the case for any team this year. And so we're all doing what we need to do. But hopefully in the future, those things come back. That's just my opinion.
B.O.B. live at NRG, world's biggest pregame show. One more question. Will it be a good one?
Hey, Coach, thanks for taking the time and for chatting with us. Herbie T over here with the Kansas City Star. The Chiefs utilize a lot of 12 personnel packages, which I'm sure you know.
Sports dog.
With the exception of Kelce there, what goes into the challenges of game planning? Because they do have a lot of other offensive weapons, but yet they do incorporate a lot of the 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's a major challenge, right? I mean, you have first of all, it starts with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, you know, you have a great quarterback, and then, you know, when they're in 12, you know, obviously Travis Kelce and then whoever that other tight end is, you know, both of those guys are going to be very, very good players, with Kelce being one of the best in the league. But then you have these other two receivers, like, you know, so then you have, you know, Tyreek Hill, Sammy Watkins, whoever it is, you know, there's a lot of speed, there's a lot of ability on the field. And then we haven't even talked about in 12 personnel, they put that back in there that they drafted out of LSU, and now you got a lot of things you got to deal with. So, you know, look, we're preparing. Today's a big day. You know, today's kind of like a Thursday of a normal game week where you're covering a lot of things, first, second, third down, a lot of special teams. So we need to have a good day today. We know they're a great team. We know it's going to be a great night relative to the league and the start of the season. We know we're going to have to play real well. We're going to have to identify personnel like you're talking about. And I know our guys are excited about that opportunity.
There you go, Bill O'Brien.
Thanks, Coach.
By the way, those of you that don't know, 12 personnel, that's one back, two tights. I know that that guy just wanted to show off his knowledge. But
people
just
like to use those little catchphrases.
I'm a man of the people, so I actually explain when I say 12 personnel. One back, two tight.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you that don't know, that's Bill O'Brien. Two things stuck out there. I think we need to get into these tomorrow. There's two things that stuck out there. Numero uno.
What was that?
The secondary is the new offensive line. The Texans' offensive line is good, but there was a time not so long ago where we heard about versatility, 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 and there weren't very many guys that did something extremely well. I feel like the secondary is transitioning into that. And that's not to say that Justin Reed and Bradley Roby don't do their jobs very well, but when he talks about these other guys in the secondary, it's almost like I'm hearing about Xavier Suofilo or Bruno Giacomini or all these guys that can do a lot of things well, but nothing really, really good. That's what I feel. Number two, he said he's going to be involved in the offense.
See,
I don't know what that
one
means. I don't know what that means, John. I'm scared. I'm scared.
Put a pin in that because we need to explore that a little bit. Basically, he was asked, what's it going to be like by our own John McClain? What's going to be like not being around and calling plays? He's, well, I'll be around. Uh-oh. Oh, really? Uh-oh.
All right.
I won't be far.
Yeah, we'll get into that. There's a lot to get into, man. We are close. We are less than 78 hours away from kickoff. But
so what's this grand idea?
So I just got to tell you, man, like, yeah. I don't like bringing my personal life to the air very often.
A light bulb moment?
But sometimes when something leaves this earth or when someone leaves this earth, you got to mourn. And then you got to do something that makes you feel better so that you can move forward.
To kind of honor it, yeah. Honor the memory.
Yeah. So first I want to mourn the loss of something that was very important to me last week.
Okay.
And I think I need to just lump this in with the greatness that is the NFL, the greatness that is Texans football.
Okay.
Let's get it, Master P. Let's go. Let's get it. Got to pour one out. In the ghetto, the life. Can't even get it out. The Mexican pizza died last week.
Oh, give me a break.
The Taco Bell Mexican pizza died last week.
Dude.
And I got to tell you, I just don't know what it's going to be like driving through that Taco Bell drive-thru without the Mexican pizza.
Dude.
Stuff.
Shit, I saw
it. It sticks out.
I saw a Sterner.
A lot of the stuff blends in, but the Mexican pizza on that menu, it sticks out.
Dude.
And it's elite.
Just buy a burrito and open it up. There's your Mexican pizza. Buy a burrito and open it up. Boom, Mexican pizza.
You're going to hell on scholarship for that, by the way.
No, I am not. I love, I always have to qualify it. I like Taco Bell. That's one of the few fast food places that I still go to.
Going to hell on scholarship right now.
But it's all the same.
John, I'm trying to mourn here.
It's.
What are you doing?
I'll help you. I'll buy you a burrito and open it and put
it on
a platter.
I'm helping myself, and I want loopholes to join me. Because how could it be? Just kidding.
Okay.
In the spirit of the death of the Mexican pizza.
Oh, here we go.
And the birth of the 2020 NFL season.
Mm-hmm.
Thursday nights. It's homemade Mexican pizza nights. Everybody make a homemade Mexican pizza.
Oh, I got you.
And send the picture
to
Sports Radio 610. All you need is an hour, about $20. Mexican pizza nights is going to happen Thursday when the Texans take on the Chiefs.
I'm in.
Homemade Mexican pizzas.
Totally in.
You make it, I'm making it. Figgy, you gonna try to make a Mexican pizza?
Probably so.
That's not really a full commitment.
I got you. I got
it's
you.
It's okay.
Man.
But that's what I'm doing.
Y'all gonna win.
Why do you say that, Figgy?
He'll win. It's fine.
No, actually, because I like to cook a lot.
Yeah, well, there we go.
Yeah.
Mexican pizza night. Texans open the season Thursday. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna pour one out for the Mexican pizza. Rest in peace, my friend. Got a feeling Taco Bell will bring you back every once in a while.
Oh, though. Yeah. It's going to be like the McRib. Hey, yeah. It's back.
Yeah. Which, by the way, don't get me started on that. Landry Locker, John Lopez.
Good. It's just not a rib.
With you. This has been In the Loop on a Reaction Monday. World's biggest pregame show. 100 hours of Texans coverage. Bill O'Brien show at 5 o'clock, 8 o'clock. A Texans radio production. Texans versus Patriots. The monkey off the back of B.O.B. as the Texans beat the Pats Sunday night. In prime time, we're taking you up to kickoff. Coming up, Justin Reed. Safety Justin Reed. He's not versatile. He might be, but he's also good. He's going to join Ron and Clint tomorrow. We got all kinds of stuff planned for you. We're going to keep this rolling. Football season is here. Week one is upon us. World's biggest pregame show continues. For the OG John Lopez, for Figgy Fig being the best in the world at what he do, I'm Landry Locker. We'll talk to you manana. Keep it locked. World's biggest pregame show continues with Ron and Clint next.
Thank you, Figgy.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.